Hello and welcome back to ELAG. I'm Tony Ajayi and I'm always glad to have you here. Last week we talked about what forgiveness really means. And today we're diving into how to know if we have truly forgiven. We'll be looking at the story of Joseph found in the book of Genesis from chapter 37 all the way to 45. If you have some time, you can read the whole text. I find his story to be especially fascinating because there's so many layers to the experiences that he went through along the way. So, Joseph was a young man with great dreams about his future, which he shared with his brothers. But out of jealousy and envy, they couldn't handle it and ended up selling him as a slave for 20 shekels of silver. Joseph was then taken down to Egypt, where he served in Potiphar's house. But later, he found himself in prison after Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. So in total, Joseph spent about 13 years of his life in slavery and prison. So you see, his brother's jealousy cost him about 13 years of his life, and things really went from bad to worse for him. That's why when we talk about forgiveness, Joseph's story is one of the best examples. So eventually, his brothers resurfaced, but by that time, Joseph was already the prime minister of Egypt. Can we just pause for a moment and marvel at how God transformed a mere teenage slave into a prime minister? What an incredible God. I don't know who needs to hear this, but God is making something beautiful out of the mess that you're in. God is writing the story of your life. He's rewriting the story of your life, and it's going to be a beautiful one in Jesus' name. All right, let's keep going. So Joseph saw his brothers, right? He recognized them, but they did not recognize him. I'm sure Joseph must have really glowed up. Well, eventually, he reviewed his identity and the whole family was reunited. Now, using Joseph's story, let's explore his process of forgiveness and what it teaches us about how to know when we've truly forgiven someone. Let's look at some of the ways that we can be sure that we have truly forgiven. Number one, by not telling the matter to anyone. So Joseph made sure that no one else knew what his brothers had done to him. I touched on this for a little bit last week, but I just want to add more context now. In Genesis chapter 45 verse 1, Joseph asked everyone to leave the room before he revealed himself to his brothers. Now just imagine if someone had overheard that conversation, the whole of Egypt would have known about their family drama and that would have been a mess. But Joseph made sure no one in Egypt ever found out what his brothers did to him. I think this is a powerful reflection of how God wipes away our forgiven sins as if they never existed. God has every reason to expose us and bring our wrongdoings into the light, but he chooses not to, and he expects us to follow this example. Now, in a way, Joseph foreshadowed Jesus. During his time on earth, Jesus forgave many people without ever talking about it to anyone else. Even though he knew ahead of time that Judas would betray him, he didn't say a word. He forgave Peter, who denied him 3 times, and he forgave his disciples, who couldn't even stay awake to pray for him before he was arrested and crucified. He didn't hold any of that against them, and he never talked about it to others. So one way we can know that we've truly forgiven someone is when we no longer feel the need to share the details to shame them. Number two, by willing to help them release their guilt. So what this means is that we don't want them to feel bad for what they've done. And this is not easy because we're humans, and it's natural for us to want someone who offends us to not just realize what they've done, but to also feel very bad about it. In Genesis chapter 45 verse 5, Joseph said to his brothers, "Now don't be grieved, don't blame yourselves because you sold me here." So Joseph could tell that his brothers already felt very guilty about what they had done, but he was willing to take that burden off them. Sometimes the reason we want others to feel extremely guilty for what they've done to us is because we also struggle with letting go of our own guilt. So this becomes a reflection of our own inner battles. One way to know that we've truly forgiven someone is when we're ready to help them feel less guilty. And we also care about making sure that they forgive themselves for what they've done to us. Number three, by helping them maintain their dignity. In Genesis chapter 45, verses 7 to 8, Joseph told his brothers that it was God who orchestrated everything so he could save lives. So what Joseph was doing here was, he was basically letting his brothers know that they hadn't really done anything wrong, and I think it's because he could finally see the bigger picture. Sometimes it's tough for us to understand what God is doing or to see the big picture in our own lives. But if we believe that even our losses and our disappointments, you know, are working together for our own good and our growth, then we can more easily help those who have hurt us to maintain their dignity. Because it's all part of God's grand plan. Even if we aren't fully in that big picture yet, we can still look back and be grateful for those times that we needed to forgive, because those were the moments that we were taught to lean on God for strength. And for that, we can be very thankful. Finally, by praying that God will bless them. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, the TPT version, it says, "However, I say to you, love your enemy, bless the one who curses you, do something wonderful for the one who hates you, and respond to the very ones who persecute you by praying for them." When we pray for those who hurt us, we are not saying that God should deal with them or punish them, but we are praying God's favor and blessing over their lives. Take a look at Stephen's life in Acts chapter 6. The Bible describes Stephen as a man full of grace and supernatural power. He performed incredible signs and wonders. He was also very wise, and he had this bright, radiant presence. But of course, this was a problem for some people who disagreed with his message. One of Stephen's most powerful qualities showed up when he was being stoned by his enemies. In Acts chapter 7 verse 60, it says, "As they hurled stone after stone at him, Stephen prayed, 'Our Lord Jesus, accept my spirit into your presence.' He crumpled to his knees and shouted in a loud voice, 'Our Lord, don't hold this sin against them.' And then he died." I think one of the keys to Stephen's anointing was his ability to forgive. I'll dig into that more in another episode. But for now, the takeaway is, when we can genuinely pray for the people who have hurt us with no bitterness or tension in our hearts, we're moving forward on the path of forgiveness. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for guiding us through this conversation today. Help us to embrace forgiveness in our hearts, and help us to release any burdens that may be weighing us down. Give us peace and healing as we move forward in love, grace, patience, and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining, and till next time, God bless you.